Okay. Okay, so we'll call the meeting to order. Are there any citizens' comments? Doesn't look like there are any. Approval of the minutes from December 7, 2020, Land Information Council meeting?
Move to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. And Scott?
Okay, in line with how we normally hold the spring land council meeting, we're going to go over and give project statuses on what we've got going on as far as our grant projects are concerned. With that, our compliance status is as follows. Our 2021 grant agreement was completed in February. That was the agreement that was in place for the rewrite of the interactive mapping system. We'll talk about that project in more detail here in just a few minutes. The version 7 parcel submittal to the state of Wisconsin, this is something that's required of all 72 counties. We did submit it in March. We received a preliminary okay on the data. However, the state may come back and tell us we need to further modify it slightly, and that's a very normal thing. They typically go back to many counties and say we need this massaged a little bit or changed or included. So we're in compliance there as well. We have a 2021 expenditure activity report that's due at the end of June. I typically work on that with our finance division. I will be getting that to them within the next week here, and it doesn't really take very long to do, so we will get that submitted by the end of June. And then the last big milestone will be our 2022 grant application. That will be due at the end of the year. That will require some action from this committee for a project idea to be discussed likely at the November Land Council meeting that we hold. Okay. Any questions on compliance so far? All right, so we've got two outstanding grants right now. We've got our 2020 grant. That was a grant for the development of public works related mapping applications. This particular project is in development right now. We're working with GIS Inc. Along with our office and IT very closely. We are developing a series of applications for public works. Part of the reason for this grant was to provide outreach to some of the other departments in the county that weren't using mapping as much as we perhaps thought they could. So we took those grant monies and essentially gave it to them and said, here's a mapping initiative. They were very appreciative of that. We broke up the applications that we're working on for them into two distinct groups. One are priority applications, and the second are a series of additional applications. The reason they're broken up into priority applications is because two of them are time sensitive. We are developing a bike trails app and a park amenities app, and it is our desire to have those in place by the end of May, by the Memorial Day weekend, because we want to be ready for the park season for the summer. The additional applications that will be worked on at a later date will be applications such as pavement management, sign inventory, stormwater outfalls, retention ponds, and so forth. A lot of inventories for assets that Public Works manages on a day-to-day basis. We're about 15% complete on the priority applications, and they are being worked on in earnest right now. The additional applications, obviously, we have not started them yet, but those will start soon thereafter, so sometime in June. And all projects have to be wrapped up by the end of this year for those particular grant monies, and that's stipulated by our grant. Okay, we don't anticipate any issues with timing on those at all. Our 2021 grant project was for a slightly higher amount. It was for $50,000, and that's for the rewrite of our interactive mapping application, which you approved in December. That application is being rewritten in-house, and it's scheduled to happen Q3 and Q4. We have started some requirements gathering already. We have a survey attached to our interactive mapping, and we are currently gathering input from our users at this point. The actual rewrite will take place starting later in June, I believe, correct, Mike? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did we send that survey to all the municipalities too? I know you sent it to us internally, but we sent it to them or no? Because I know a lot of them use it a lot.
We did not specifically send it to them. However, I'm going to on Friday. Just to let you know, we already have been able to see the results of that survey, and a lot of the municipal contacts have already sent it in. We are going to send two more reminders before we wrap up the survey itself.
And it is on that splash screen.
Yeah, so the ones that probably use it the most often probably saw it, but.
This project, our target date for completion is December 31st of 21. However, the grant allows us to work on it up until December of 2022, but we don't anticipate stretching it out that far. There's no need to at this point. Any questions on our two open grants? Okay. The state of Wisconsin is requiring all 72 counties to update their land information plans. That's in a 3-year cycle, and it is due by the end of this year.
Sorry.
Sorry about that. John, you're going to make me fall asleep with that. Lullaby.
As is our regular practice with the land information plan, we typically work on that with our internal CALM group, which is our Kenosha Area Land Management Group, consists of the treasurer, the register of deeds, myself, planning, IT. We'll work on the vast majority of that plan. My plan is to send out a copy of the existing plan to all of you so you have a chance to review it as well. And you are welcome to provide feedback on anything you feel that should be included in that plan. I will be doing that here within the next 30 days. We will meet internally with CALM to kick that process off in roughly that 30-day period as well. There are no significant changes to the plan template, so I don't anticipate this being a real heavy rewrite of the plan. It's just going to be small edits for the most part. There may be one or two sections that have some legacy language that we may want to modernize a little bit, perhaps. CALM has always been very, very helpful in assisting in that process, and I'm sure they're looking forward to assisting this time around again. Right, Joellen? I see the smile behind your mask.
Super excited.
Can't wait, sounds like.
It's always a joy.
The first draft of that plan is due by September 30th. DOA requires it. They want to make sure the counties are making progress on that plan. So at that time, I will also send that first draft to the land council members so that you can see the status of that. This committee will have to approve the plan before we submit it in December. So we will likely act on it at our November meeting. Okay. Any questions on the land information plan update?
Always fun.
We're going to change gears a little bit, and we're going to talk about potential imagery acquisition next year.
Imagery, not injury, no injuries. Let's not go injuries.
It goes by many different names. I'm reluctant to call it orthophotos anymore because we, if you recall, we have a orthophoto product and an oblique product, and imagery is just more encompassing. There are right now region-wide discussions underway. There is a lot of interest, not only from Kenosha County, but from all seven southeastern counties to collect imagery at a cycle more often than once every 5 years.
So what changed? They didn't, last time we wanted it, nobody else seemed interested in it. So what changed recently?
I think it's just the fact, there's two factors. One, the increased resolution, and then moreover, all the economic development that's occurring in and around, you know, most of the counties and communities is kind of really showing the glaring problem of every 5 years, and really finding that need for increased intervals as far as for acquisition. So
is the cost going down for this imaging as opposed to how expensive the ortho and obliques were?
That's kind of been, the answer is yes, and it's been tremendous as far as, you know, you could look over the, starting in 2000, when the region was being acquired at 12-inch resolution, I think the project was $500,000.
Right.
You know, the, even higher. So you're only getting a pixel for every foot. And then, you know, 2005, you know, was $700,000 for 6-inch resolution. You know, today for 3-inch resolution, for the whole area, it's $500,000. So we've increased our accuracy almost four times. Well, we increased our accuracy four times and remained at the same cost. You know, so the sensor technology permits, you know, the capability of getting higher resolution and not having to incur four times the cost, for acquiring it.
Right.
So
it's still significantly expensive, you know, how frequent are you thinking? What's the thought on that?
Ideally every 2 to 3 years.
So do one in the middle, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Right. I know the commission is obviously really heavily tied to every 10 years. We've always done an intro, you know, interval of comprehensive planning every, you know, on that fifth year. We can kind of look at maybe pushing it to the fourth or sixth year if the counties wanted to do it every 2 years as far as the acquisition.
So the breakdown you have there, is that just for Kenosha County then?
That's just Kenosha County.
Yeah.
So it's like $80,000 if we do it ortho and oblique, $60,000 if we just do ortho?
Correct.
And also the commission, is that with the assistance with the commission?
That is not including the assistance, so.
Correct.
There could be up to $20,000 taken off of those numbers just based on the cost sharing that Rob will bring to the table.
Right.
Something else I think we should maybe touch upon, and that is there's a lot of new products in terms of imagery out there. I'm going to let Rob talk about it briefly because there's a new player out there, and perhaps you would like to talk to us about NearMap.
Absolutely. So I will sit there and comment about, with all these significant, you know, the cost itself as far as, you know, we're talking with obliques, you know, $80,000 if it's just a straight top-down nadir, you know, ortho, being $60,000. NearMap, which is a company, and I think it kind of came across over from Australia. They commit flying it a large portion of our area twice a year. And a lot of it is more associated with, as far as property to sell and, you know, and things of that sort, or construction management, looking at things, how they change. But they came back with a very attractive fee So what they were saying to the commission was they would fly our, you know, the seven county area for the next 5 years and at a cost of $500,000. So instead of $500,000 for 1 year's acquisition,
$100,000 a year?
They would do $100,000 a year for all seven counties, all seven counties.
So our cost would be a seventh of that?
Exactly. So you're
even less depending on our
square.
Right.
Precisely. So there's some trade-offs, you know, with that. And they would be collecting, you know, like I said, with once a year. The trade-off is there's a subscription, so they get you on a little bit more with the subscription cost. You're gonna have to be correct. And then the other aspect is, you know, the licensing as far as if how you wanna put information out to the general public that would have some heartburn. But the benefit obviously would be a collection every single year over the next 5 years.
So we wouldn't own the images?
Say that again?
We would not own the images?
We would not own the images.
So we'd have a cost if we wanted to put it on our website?
It wouldn't be a cost. So what they had agreed on is after the first year of the flying, they would allow us to put it on our site and make it available. Any subsequent flight was a year later. Like, so it had to be another year had been passed.
So then what would happen during that year? Would they be selling the images?
Yes.
To developers and?
Right, so they would still keep their clients. So, because that their clients would still be downloading their imagery and accessing their data, that database that has that more recent flights imagery, they would retain all those rights. And then after the next year, once that imagery now has been updated, they would say, okay, Kenosha County.
So is that straight up orthos? Not obliques?
Yes, straight up orthos. They do have an oblique option. They would not give me a fee of what it would be. They
want
to work.
Know what that means.
Well, no, I would sit there and make the comment that the fee, it's like, I get, you know, my skin crawls a bit just knowing because they look at what Eagle View and they can say, well, Eagle View is $70 or pick a number. I'll charge you $65, you know, because they basically said I'm not gonna give you a price unless you come with an area and you know with a commitment and all this other stuff. But I can guarantee you I'll beat Eagle View. And it's like, well,
they're gonna sell it to 900 other people to make their money. They don't really care about
it. It was a little bit on the. I didn't like the way the tactics and the sales, you know, how that was all being kind of. It was not the way professionally I would want it to be handled. I mean, that was just my, you know, that's my opinion on you know how the services that you're going to provide, and yet we're just kind of arguing on fees that are a bit fishy. Overall.
Yeah, that's definitely something to consider, the fees. Are these images, you know, how much better than the ortho obliques are these?
Exact same. But I will say there's two areas that would have some imperfections. The first area is elevated features. So like a bridge, they don't handle the way that they do their image processing. It's going to be displaced. It's going to be kind of warped. It's going to be kind of disfigured. But I will sit there and say, if you have things on the ground, and I did a comparison in Milwaukee, you know, with imagery that compared against the imagery that was done through NearMap and the more recent imagery, it's within tenths of a foot. I mean, it was very, very accurate on the ground.
I guess my concern in that regard is one of the reasons we wanted more often was for law enforcement and for development purposes, and to have it kind of skewed that way concerns me.
It concerned all seven counties. So this was quite unanimous, but it was, it, I will say, and the benefit you guys have as far as it, from I-94 slightly, you know, it's slightly west, but everything from I-94 east, they fly twice a year on a yearly basis. That data was available for everyone to download if you would have an interest in accessing that information. That could, you know, that would be a resource that is certainly available. The second concern I had was timing. You know, when are you flying it? Where we contractually say you need to fly, you know, snow free, ice free, you know, leaf off, they don't have the same
priorities.
They will fly it when their plane is in that area for that given schedule. And it somewhat, you know, is, we take the hands off the wheel and they drive and control everything, you know, with the project. So that was a bit scary, knowing there's nothing that we could do to control the circumstances.
I think there are several things I find scary and some others I just find irksome.
Say it.
Others I find irksome.
Yes, correct. But when I heard the fee, I mean, my mouth dropped.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's,
you know, and that was definitely I was listening. I mean, I had to be listening because at that point, because
I. You're not giving me a free Facebook page because you're going to sell my data 9,000 times underneath me. So, I mean, essentially, that's what they're doing.
In effect.
Right? I mean, it's not like we have control over whether or not they fly over and sell that data, but I guess the fact that we have to wait an extra year so that their other money clients get it first, I find more than a little irksome.
Yes.
And the fact we don't own the data, I find really problematic and troublesome.
Correct. No,
it's paying for it, but we don't get to own it.
Yeah.
Right.
And also that we can't control when they fly over. I mean, if they're flying over at full forestation, we're going to miss a lot.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Especially west of the eye.
Yeah.
Correct. So it is, those are all factors that we kind of proceeded to not move in that direction.
It's important to note this because this may be a trend in the industry in the future. We may have to look at a subscription service at some point because that's where things seem to be going at this point.
We need to understand though what our purpose of doing the flyover is in the first place. You know, what we're doing, you know, is it meeting our needs or do we need to, we would give up a lot to get this better imagery. Do we need that, you know, is it worth giving up everything that we give up to get that better quality image and that lesser price?
I mean,
we would be giving up a lot. We'd be giving up our control over much of the data.
Right.
And is it going to have seat licenses? Is it going to be every time we touch the data, we get a sock to it? You know, every time, you know, every natural disaster, we don't know if we're going to have 5 or 500 a year. So every time Horace's crew logs in and starts playing around with some data, is that a hit? Are we getting tagged for that? You know,
I don't think it would be quite to that level. Yeah. I think what you would find is
Not yet.
Well,
you're
now
you're five.
That's
you're five is
true.
When they do that.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're five. Because you got to pay us $3 for every year.
Right. Exactly. I will say WISDOT uses it and has a subscription, and they pay $10,000 for the Southeast region for whatever they whatever NearMap collects, which is, as I explained, you know. That not the I-94 corridor that's going up to Racine and then it goes west then as you get into Milwaukee and Waukesha and then it comes back down and it caps off a kind of the Mequon area just south of Port Washington and kind of you know skirts over going west from there so is the kind of the top so there's nothing in Walworth and, you know, kind of the just the, a bit of the southern half and the southeast of Ozaukee and Washington, you know, respectively. So, so it was intriguing. I mean, it was definitely an intriguing conversation, you know, with them, and just knowing that you had to be careful what, how you're listening to the words that they were saying, because they were skirting around so many things.
It felt like you were dealing with used car salesmen.
Totally. 100%. It was very much, you knew they were using words to wordsmith around the
potential problems.
The problems that I know are traditionally incumbent with photogrammetry and the types of things that you would normally see that require more manual editing and manipulation, and they were doing it strictly programmatically, and it, you know, obviously the fee
shows it.
Yeah. So, but it was an eye opener. So it's good to mention it.
The prices that you're seeing here are with our existing vendor right now, just for your information. There are a few other vendors. Actually, the 248 is with our vendor. That's both. The 175 is with the WROC consortium vendor, which is Ayers and Associates out of Madison, I believe.
Yes.
And but both vendors would be really close. We could go with our vendor and get, we feel we can get fairly close to that 175 if we went with an ortho only.
So if we did this, and let's say, you know, county board box at 80 grand, but they're okay with 60, you know, not unreasonable. So if that's the case, and we went with this other company to do just the orthos in the in-between years, would there be any issue with going back to orthos and obliques during our normal years?
No. In fact, Washington County has employed an approach somewhat like that. They've used pictometry at a five-year interval, and then I think even they changed at some point.
Yeah. I mean, ideally, I think I would like to see both, because again, the purpose of the data is for primarily emergency response, law enforcement, and development issues. So I think there's a lot of quality to be had in the obliques, but you know, money talks sometimes, and some data is probably better than no data.
Now, but with that other imagery thing, that's a five-year commitment for every year, right? Isn't that what you said?
That is, yeah. That would be, well, it would be a one set fee, but you would get then five successive years.
Where they get you there is the fact that you don't own that data. So if you ever decided not to re-up with them, all of those years are lost years. You no longer have data for those years.
Well, you pay the money up front.
Yeah.
This is the money. This is not going.
Yeah, but on year six, if you don't re-up your contract,
you don't want to be with them anymore. You lose all that data.
You would still retain in that last year, regardless, because the contract and what they would state, you would still retain that last. You would
retain access.
Retain
to it?
Access. Okay. To that last year or following year, however you want to look at it. But
do we ever sell any of this data?
We do. It's for a nominal fee, and it does not bring in appreciable revenue at all.
So we sell it to the public at for a nominal fee, just to, you know, try and cover the cost, help cover the cost.
Correct.
Does this prohibit us from doing that?
No, it would not.
Scott, we don't sell it to recover costs.
Not to recover costs.
It's not nearly enough.
It's really just a use fee, like any other records request fee, right?
If someone wants to purchase orthophotos for the entire county, it's $75, and we probably sell it a half dozen to 10 times per year, at most.
At most. What kind of media do you sell to them?
In digital format only. Yep, they download it at this point.
And so, realistically, if someone made an open records request, we'd give it to them for free, wouldn't we? I mean, that's just the direction all the stuff, you guys know as well, so.
No, I have a statute that says you gotta pay $2 and one.
I got law, county boy can do whatever they want, but I got law.
You might be the only one.
No, circuit court does too, circuit court has a few that are in statute as well. Mine, I pretty much got, everything's free. Of course, I want people to pay bills, so we pretty much bill people for free anyway, so.
So we'll continue that planning process with the region, or regional LIOs. It will obviously be dependent upon funding. There are some different possibilities perhaps on how we could fund that. So I will keep you informed right on up to the November Land Council meeting on whether or not this will take place. It's not a given by any means at this point. Any questions on imagery?
The November meeting will be mid to late November?
It should be mid, yes.
Definitely it's before Thanksgiving.
Yep.
I was just saying, because we'll know then if the county board approved it or not.
Yeah, I guess we will. Okay. Any new business? Or I'm sorry, Sean.
It's okay, Scott.
Stealing that thunder.
We're super strict on the rock, yeah.
We see who's really running this. It's not a mystery here. Any new business?
Sean, something I would like to discuss, just for the sake of the council. I thought it was a good idea perhaps to ask a few questions of the other LIOs throughout the southeast counties and just get a little idea of how they operate as far as their land council and share that with all of you. So if you'd like to take a copy.
You get along with all of them?
I try.
And this is where Rob's going to be.
Minus two.
Yeah.
So I can't say for two.
Rob's on 5 land councils throughout the.
God bless you, that's a lot of meetings.
Exactly.
He's got a lot of experience in dealing with them. And my main purpose in asking the questions of the Southeast LIOs was to give you an idea of what projects were being worked on by the other counties, so the second to last column there. In that process, there was a couple other questions that came up, and I just filled everything out accordingly. So as far as how often we meet, 2 times per year is the most popular.
Yeah, it is.
2 counties state when action is needed, and that really means once per year, essentially.
As required by statute.
Yeah.
The update of the land records plan always requires more meetings, and that's fairly typical across the board.
Right.
It's not always noted here on this document. Something else I asked them to highlight was any positions that were on their land council that were not statutorily notated. Specifically, everyone here is specific on our council, with the exception of Sean, our chair. So we chose to put the IT director on, and as you can see, other counties have different positions that are available to their land council.
I think we kind of mimicked it with CALM, having that history with CALM and.
Correct.
No, we really weren't doing any of this without IT, so.
You'll notice that Milwaukee County and Ozaukee County are the two that really have a lot of different types of positions there. Milwaukee County is a special.
Separate. Yeah, no.
They're special.
No, well, what happened was they really didn't have a land council. They used McCamless as their primary decision-making for land information, and then kind of had to be forced by state statute to then now kind of somewhat come back into this So there's a lot of legacy as far as...
They have a charter and bylaws.
Yes. Oh, no, it was... I will sit there and say that McCamless, which now is no longer, McCamless had more, they had their separate funding.
Okay.
They had funding that they could approve and appropriate, and instead of giving more direction and suggestions as to how the funding should be spent, they actually,
just
you know...
Just funded it.
Yeah, exactly, correct.
It was essentially a public-private partnership, and then the statutes came through to make it a public entity, and that's where they face some challenges in how to recreate their land council. So they're a little different than many of the other counties.
Right.
Dude, what's all this datum conversion? That seems to be the popular project.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't remember talking about all that, Terry?
I don't remember. Like, it's like all I do is datum conversion.
Yeah.
I have flashbacks of datum conversion discussions.
You will, once you get past the datum conversions, the most popular item on the list seems to be imagery. And again, I just wanted to give you this information so that you were aware of what other counties are doing with the funds.
It kind of shows that in southeastern Wisconsin, we're doing things a little bit different than the rest of the state, because when I talk to the rest of the state, a lot of them, like, their money goes to pay for their tax system.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go. Because they got no other funding for it.
No.
They use it for it. And so it's like, and they don't have an IT department. And so it is interesting how different southeastern Wisconsin is kind of compared to the rest of the state. So that's interesting.
We're in a very good position. We've got all of our core elements to our land information system done, as do most southeast counties.
Correct.
And we don't qualify for all of the grants that the state hands out. A lot of the northern counties are getting more monies than we are getting each year. But that's to try to get them up to speed and level out the playing field amongst all of the counties.
Yeah.
We're in a very good position. We're also in a position where we have a lot of say in what we use the monies for. If we were in the boat that some of these smaller counties were, they have no choice but to use it on foundational elements, and they can't pick and choose where they want to go necessarily. So we're doing very well.
So you're saying there's a minimum standard, and if they're below that minimum standard, they have to do that stuff. But since we're above that minimum standard, we get to pick the bells and whistles.
Correct.
Yep.
Correct.
Scott, was there anything on here that you thought was worth us considering?
I think imagery would be a great consideration. Milwaukee County, you'll notice if you look at what they're doing, it's virtually every year they're looking at imagery with their grant funds. So that would be a definite possibility.
By imagery, do you mean something other than what we just talked about, or just that?
Just that. Yeah. Just that. But this can go anywhere. You know, we can do things that are in horses shop. You know, we can do permitting, anything related to land records. We can use those monies for. So I don't want to think that we have to do imagery. There's a lot of different options here, and we can get very creative, and the state is very open-minded about project ideas. They've been very good to work with. So we could, if Joella needed to do extra indexing on images or on historic images and so forth, we could do that. If Terry, if you need to do things, these are things we need to think about as we update our land records plan and be ready to make an informed decision come November on how to spend the monies. Right now, recordings are up per Joellen this morning, and I am being told by the state DOA that they will be able to fully fund this at the $50,000 level.
For 21?
For 22.
Two.
For 22.
22.
The 21 money goes to 22,
yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, they should, yeah. They're gonna get $300,000 probably from us for 21, so.
And we'll get 50 grand back, look at that.
In fact, it sounds like they may have more monies than that available, but they're gonna hold some back and then perhaps apply it to next year's in case recordings go down. So.
Well, the whole idea behind this was to help smaller counties update their land information programs.
We are a net donator.
Is there some kind of limit that they can move to the smaller counties or not?
Well, okay, there, and.
You know what I mean?
I think it depends on what they ask for, doesn't it?
I'll try to describe this, okay? Every county across the state gets the $50,000 this year, okay? But the counties that don't meet a certain recording threshold, they receive additional monies above and beyond the $50,000. And that's how they try to bring them up to speed. I don't follow it too closely because it never applies to us. We record way too many, too many recordings to ever qualify.
So nobody can complain about the baseline? Everybody gets, everybody starts at $50,000 and.
Correct.
Right, so that's the minimum you gotta.
So whether they had ten things processed or not.
Right, correct.
I guess you could complain about the baseline.
Yeah.
So we used to send the state $2 for every recording, and now we're sending them $7. So that extra $5 came from our redaction money. Years ago, added $5 onto the recording fee so we could redact social security numbers from documents so that they could go online.
And that was supposed to sunset.
It was supposed to sunset, but you know.
It didn't.
Once the government gets your money, they aren't giving it back. So that instead of sunsetting it, it was converted into this land information program. You know, it's probably a good program. I know a lot of the counties felt that we should have just been able to keep the money and, you know, do what we wanted with our money, but.
Now you're talking like a politician.
We benefited. We really did benefit greatly from it. We used it for, you know, because we're a bigger county, we raised a lot more money. We were able to get all my documents are scanned in. You know, we got a good chunk of them indexed. So we were able to.
We had those guys scanning records like crazy.
Right, we just took over that office on the first floor, and I mean, it was a huge project, but we were able to use it to do, you know, it fell within. Then they ran it through their digital imaging and redacted the social security numbers from the older documents that we couldn't, you know, hunt and peck for. So, it was a good program for us, and now this is what it's become. It's become this. So it wasn't money the county already had, you know, that we were using, that they took away from us. It was money that, okay, we've got this $5, that program's ending. What's the best use of it?
It was always specially earmarked money. Right. It's not like money we were just throwing in the general fund.
So that document is just for your information. There's no proposal to change anything. It's just to help you understand how we operate compared to how other counties in the Southeast region.
I have to say, I think we're more creative.
Okay.
Do you need anything for or use with the 2022?
Colin's going to start that. When did
with
we say
imagery
this
or?
Well, we don't know yet.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't know yet.
I didn't know if you needed like something from like the land council to saying you're approving or to force if that's something you wanted to do.
I believe if we did choose to use the monies for the orthos that this committee would have to vote on that by December, so presumably at our November meeting.
By then we'll know whether or not it got funded through the budget or not, so we can make a wiser decision than right now.
I wasn't sure whether or not they had to have the approval first to even ask for it, to ask for it.
Right now, I would like to ask for it in the budget and see if that flies, and if that doesn't, perhaps these grant monies could be a fallback mechanism in order to fund them.
Or if we need a partial or something like that.
Right. Okay.
That gives us, historically, that's part of the reason why we've been able to do so many creative projects is historically we've had budgetary support for this imagery. So we haven't had to hit this money for it. We've been able to do some more creative things that got more information out there in a more interesting way because we've had the budgetary support to do the imagery that we wanted. So I think that's a good way to go about it. We do it the way we've always done it. We ask for it in the budget, and if it doesn't get happened and it's a priority for us, then we can talk about that being a use of this money.
Is there any other new business?
I did tease Barna that I didn't want to hear any talk of how tight budgets were this year after we get the $16 million from the gov.
Second?
Church.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.